The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you so much for joining us as this community of Jesus apprentices, where we are trying to learn how to love and serve like Jesus. I'm glad that you are with us today as we study more about the life of Jesus through the lens of Luke. And as you know, the apprentices of Jesus, of the rescue worker community, we have a model that we try to live for. And the model for the apprentice of Jesus is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus invites us to live a kingdom based on love. Love for God, love for our neighbor, and love for yourselves. And we need to experience this kingdom today and share this kingdom here and now. Today we're starting our 10th week. That's right, we have been together for 9 weeks and now we are starting the 10th one. And I don't know about you, but I have been so blessed by this journey of studying the Gospel of Luke. And I pray that somehow you, your family, your loved ones have been impacted by this study and this journey, where we reflect on the Gospel of Luke and trying to see lessons for us so we can be like the Master. Throughout this journey, we try to have a memory verse for every week, a verse that we are reading from the portions for that week, but then becomes a center point for us to memorize. And the memory verse for this week comes from Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses who you are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Well, you may have heard that Bible verse. We are talking about the Beatitudes. Today, or better saying, this week, we're starting to study the Beatitudes. And we'll stay in the Beatitudes for a few weeks. We'll try to understand a little bit deeper what is the Sermon of the Mount. Understand what is God's goal for us. Because, you see, the Sermon of the Mount is the curriculum of God's kingdom. Somehow, the Sermon of the Mount is explanation of the law given to Moses in Genesis 20, better saying Exodus 20. This law that has been eternal law. So Jesus gives now not just the words, but the meaning and what that represents in real life. And we need to reflect that, because that is the values and some of the lessons of the kingdom that we need to embrace. For that, we need more than ever God's direction, God's guidance, so we can understand and apply to our lives. And we need His power through the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to give us insight, enlightenment, and power to live the life according to the kingdom of God. And we know, according to Hebrews 4:16, that we need to come to Jesus, to God and His throne, so we can have this power, this direction through grace and mercy. So Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it the most. So God is inviting us to come before Him, to have a relationship with Him, to receive His grace and mercy. And I want to encourage you to have this experience today, to come in God's presence, to reflect in His words, to receive His mercy and grace, His healing power. So at this moment, take 1 minute for you to reflect, to think about it, to position yourself before God. And then we'll come back for a study, a short prayer, and then the study of Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this opportunity that we have to come together before you, before the throne of grace, and community, the rescue worker community, to seek your presence and to surrender to you, Lord, to find the direction for our lives, to find healing, to find purpose, to find, Lord, the answers to the questions that we are looking for. Forgive our sins, Lord, and provide to us understanding of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, before we start reading Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16, I think it is good for us to have a review, because those verses, they close a major section, and it starts a new section in the book of Luke. You see, we have studied birth of Jesus, the announcement of Jesus, what we expect about Jesus. We saw him having experience with the water through the baptism, then experience in the wilderness with the temptation, and then we start looking Jesus on the beginning of his public ministry, the introduction of his public ministry. On this introduction, Luke presents to us Jesus as a great rabbi, teacher, preacher, the one that has authority over the devil, the evil spirits and the demons, the one that has authority over the diseases, the one that has authority over nature, the one that has authority over the laws of Moses, the one that has authority over the laws of the eternal laws and forgiveness of sin and all that. We see Jesus inviting people to do life with him. We see this beautiful picture of who Jesus is. And we see as well glimpses of God's kingdom as Jesus live out the script for his life. The script that is found in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus is living that script. But because of that, there's some friction, tension with the religious group at the time. And we see issues related to Jesus forgiving sins, issues related to Jesus eating with sinners or unclean people according to those religious groups, Jesus and fasting, and Jesus the Sabbath day. And we see how Jesus and all those aspects presents principles and values of the kingdom. And now we come to the moment that moves Jesus to another phase on his ministry, his public ministry. Or at least Luke will try to focus Jesus and Jesus in a different way on his teachings. So what we see today, and just for you to have a glimpse, today we'll see how Jesus chose the 12 apostles, and then we'll see the Sermon of the Mountain following that. A Sermon of the Mountain that will take us a few weeks. I'm going slow because I think sometimes we don't pay attention as we should in the Sermon of the Mountain. And I'll explain why, even with the first verse of our today's reading, verse 12. One day, soon afterwards, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. And he prayed to God all night. Wow, that's beautiful. Jesus had a relationship with God to the point that he spent all night praying. And why he spent all night praying? Because he was looking for guidance, looking for direction. Jesus will not do anything if the Father will not show him. So we see what comes next, the chosen of the 12, right? And the Sermon of the Mountain, he's receiving these instructions, receiving power. And that's crucial. But one point that I want to highlight up to this point is, yes, Jesus had this close communion with God, but he didn't stay there. In another sense, he didn't live this monastic concept of life. Yes, he had moments, intimate moments with God, but he would come back to serve. And I think there is a paradigm for us as apprentices of Jesus. Yes, we need to have our moments with God. Yes, we need to go and isolate ourselves. Yes, we need to spend time in prayer, but we cannot stay there. We need to come back to serve. Is this movement of being with God and being with people, being with God and being with people until both are together. But something that I want to call your attention that maybe is not so clear for the majority of people is the movement here. Jesus went up to a mountain. You see, there's a structure here of movements that already happened in the Bible. There is the experience of the water. Jesus went through the experience of the water. Jesus went through the experience of the wilderness. And now he's going through the experience of the mountain. And where we see this structure happening? Well, we see with the people of Israel in Exodus. We see the experience of water, the people of Israel going through the Red Sea. We see the experience of the wilderness, where after the Red Sea, they come to the wilderness and face many challenges. And then comes to the moment, a very important moment, that it was the experience of the mountain at the Sinai, where Moses go up to the mountain, stay with God, receive God's direction and will, and bring back to the people and present to the people the commandments of God, the will of God, the desire of God. This is understood as the covenant at the Sinai. And somehow that is a restructure of the people and the covenant with Israel. You see, yes, Israel was a people that was promised with Abraham, the covenant with Abraham. But we see an extension and enlargement of those covenants. And after going to with Jacob and 12 sons and going to Egypt and staying there, and they lost their identity after 430 years of slavery. And they are not even human beings in a sense, right? After so much time away from God and being oppressed, that now they are in the desert, and in the covenant, there's the creation of this new community, a community of the covenant. So there's the creation of a community and the presentation or the deliverance of Moses of God's will as he comes up to the mountain. So, and what we see here in this movement of Jesus, and we need to pay attention, Jesus going through this experience of the water, the desert, and now he goes up in the mountain. He comes from the mountain. And what he does? He creates a community. And he presents God's will. So, if you have not perceived that, somehow God is recreating that experience in Jesus Christ and presenting the enlargement of that experience that happened at Sinai, now with Jesus, where the principles given at Sinai, they are enlarged and explained in Jesus Christ. It is interesting that sometimes Christians don't spend so much time in this new law, this new direction that does not exclude or eliminate the past experience, but expand, enlarge, and presents in a better way the Sermon of the Mountain. You see, the Sermon of the Mountain is crucial. It is the curriculum of for the apprentice of Jesus, how to live in God's way and his kingdom. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be in his kingdom? It is crucial. And that's the reason why I want to spend some time and go slow and try to digest these principles, the God's normative for his people. But before that, Jesus creates this community. The community that comes with the 12 apostles. So we start reading, right? Verse 12. One day, soon afterwards, Jesus went up in a mountain to pray. And he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all his disciples. And there's many people, as we'll see on verse 17. And from that group of people, he chose 12. The same way there's 12 tribes, and God created a nation from those 12 tribes. Now God is creating a new community, the community of the kingdom based on those 12. Not that we need to, and here's the point, the chosen of the 12 and who are the 12 is not so concerned with who are they and we need to follow they with sons and daughters of Simon or Peter or Thomas. That's not the goal. I think the idea of the 12 is this concept of creation of this community, the community of the kingdom. Not the people itself, but the idea of the 12, the kingdom. And here's an important information. They chose them to be apostles. What is apostle? Right? And sometimes we follow the 12 disciples, but they were called to be 12 apostles. What is apostle? Well, I know today we like to use this title, the title of apostle, for someone that have some spiritual authority or have some kind of position in a church structure. But here we understand by the word in the concept of the apostle is the one that is sent. That the one that becomes a messenger. So the apostle is the one that is sent. Sent for what? Sent to proclaim the kingdom, to reflect the kingdom, to demonstrate the kingdom. You see, they are not chosen because they are special. They are chosen to become messengers, to be sent, ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And here's the point that we need to understand. Everyone that accepts Jesus Christ becomes an apostle, a sent one to proclaim and declare the values of the kingdom. The community that God is creating right now, this new community of not 12 tribes, but 12 apostles, and creating this new community is the community of the sent ones, those that go and proclaim, live out the kingdom of God, the principles that Jesus will demonstrate in the Sermon of the Mountain. It is so powerful and beautiful to see the flow of the narrative of Luke, but at the same time, to see the flow of the narrative of the full Bible and how Luke connects that to the Holy Spirit. That's the reason I think this book was inspired by God, even though it was a research. It's Holy Spirit guiding the thoughts, the structure, and everything. So, do you see the importance here? In the importance of what will come, the Sermon of the Mountain? It is crucial. And here on verse 14, 16, we have the list of those 12 apostles. And I'll read Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. He present. And here what we see based on this group of people, that this process reflects the kingdom. The creation of this community, and I said more important than the names is the concepts here. The creation of this community presents many aspects. The first one, if you were responsible to select people to start a startup or company, a business, you would try to select the best candidates in the market. What you see here is Jesus choosing those that were available and those that had submit to Jesus Christ. Surrender to him. So it's not a question of how, what are your skills, who you are and who you are not, but it's a question if you have submitted and surrender. Because God will use anyone that submit and surrender to his lordship. And that is powerful. God uses everyone that surrender to him. God uses everyone as an apostle for him if they have accept God's kingdom. The second, here we see a group that there is simple men such as the fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. We have heard about them. They are simple people. You see, it's not about your economic class. The kingdom doesn't have this kind of divisions that we have. The kingdom is not about boundaries, but it's about a table of grace where everyone comes together. You see, some people have the tendency, and we need to pay attention so we don't fall on this problem, in my humble opinion, that we can develop a theology of the poor. Oh, yeah, the people at the time, they understood that just those that were rich, they were having the means or from the proper family, they are loved by God and used by God. And everybody that did not experience that, they are kind of hated by God. And then Jesus comes and say, hey, blessed are the poor. And so then we start believing, okay, now I need to be a poor so I can be blessed by God. And we create the other side of the spectrum that also it's not right. Because with God, there is no poor or rich. With God, there is no studied person or a person that doesn't even not how to know how to read. With God, there's just people, son and children of God. There's no male or female. There is no free or slave, Jewish or Gentile. All are one in Christ. So let's not create, right? The other day someone said to me, well, Jesus didn't choose anyone that have study. And so if anyone that has some study or some degrees probably will not be chosen by God. They say, what are you saying here? What theology are you preaching here? Think about Paul, who's Paul, right? A scholarly person. Think about Joseph Arimathea, right? He was from the Senate of Israel, and he was the one that founded financially the ministry, and God provided the means. Very scholarly person, Nicodemus, and many others. The question here is not if a person is poor, rich, has some degrees or not. The question is the kingdom of God, and where everyone comes together at the table of grace, at the table of the kingdom of God. And I want to finish, or my last point is to elaborate a little bit here, another aspect. When you see here on verse 15, we have a name that we have heard already. Matthew, the Levi. He's the one that was the tax collector of Luke chapter 5. So he was a tax collector. And we have studied the tax collector would be considered today maybe the liberals. The tax collector, they work with the government, with Romans. They are okay with that. That doesn't bother them. For them, it's not breaking any principles working with the Romans. Something that the Pharisees say, no, we cannot. You are unclean for working with the Romans. But they were okay. The tax collector were those that they oppressed the people of Israel because they not only got the taxes for Rome, but they got money from themselves. They used corruption. You could say they did not have a character or principles. They are far from God's ideal. So what you see here is one end of the spectrum. Someone that is very liberal in their principles, in a sense, that are hated by the people of Israel, and nobody wanna hang out with them. But here at the end of verse 15, we have Simon, who was called the Zealot. And who was the Zealot? I can tell it's the other side of the spectrum. I have mentioned a few groups in the biblical time for you in Jesus' time. I have mentioned about the Essenes, those that lived in the desert. They are away from the city. They want to be poor. They don't accept women, just men, and men that are perfect physically. So if anyone has any challenge or deficiency, they will not be accepted. They go 3 times a day for a purification bath, right? They live a monastic life far from sin. They are the ones responsible for the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Even God used them in a mighty way, right? So there's this group. And some refer that John Baptist was part of these Essenes, right? We have and have talked about the Pharisees, right? This group of people that believe the literally of the word of God and the tradition of the word of God, that they see that the implementation of the kingdom will come through being perfectly obeying God's law. They create laws to protect the laws, right? So that's a group, the Pharisees, right? There's the Sadducees we haven't studied yet, but we'll come across, that are another group related to the priests and the temple. And they have a good relationship with the Romans, so they don't want a problem with the Romans. Let's keep peace here and let's do our thing. And they are there in Jerusalem, right? They're very unique group of people, right? We have the scribes of the law, and we studied the other day, right? The people that are responsible to copy the law of God or the Bible by hand and interpret the law and its application for daily life. Yeah, there's this group. But here we see another group, the Zealots. And basically the Zealots, they look forward to see the kingdom of God being implemented, as the Pharisees as well. But the way that you want to see the kingdom of God being implemented is by power. They are okay, and they were using violence to bring the kingdom of God. They were conservatives. They are ultra conservatives, right? They hate publicans. The tax collectors, they hate the zealots. These zealots could be considered even today the terrorists, the extreme. Let's explode, let's destroy, let's go after. But the tax collectors are those that work for the enemies, let's say, and put it that way. So they are complete opposed sides of the spectrum. It is about those that are vaccinated, not vaccinated. It's about this party, the liberals and the conservatives, Republicans and Democrats. Like, they are all complete opposed. And what Jesus does with the selection of the 12, they bring them together. You see, the kingdom of God is not about sides. The kingdom of God is not about human ideologies. The kingdom of God is not about preference. The kingdom of God is about the child of God that surrendered to Jesus Christ. It's based on love. Love where tax collectors and zealots can come and become a community. They can eat together, support one another, love one another. That's the community of the kingdom. And that are some of the lessons that the selection of the 12 is presented to us. Sometimes we see a lot of advocates for perspectives, human ideology, political parties, even politicians. Hey, our flag, our surrender should be with Jesus and his kingdom. So it's not about right or left, vaccinated or no vaccinated, mask or no mask, is about the kingdom of God. And how can we coexist? How can we love one another? How can we care for one another? How can we live, express the kingdom of God? We are the apostles, the sent ones, to live out the kingdom principles and values. We are those that must declare the kingdom of God and present the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God brings people together. The kingdom of God don't break people apart. The kingdom of God brings healing. You see, this election is based on the script that Jesus received in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. Where people that are incarcerated by humans' ideologies and preference are released. That people don't see each other as brothers and sisters. They are blind. They will see. Where oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor will be experienced. Grace, the table of grace, where both sides can live together and love together. Jesus was not making people to follow Matthew's way of life. And neither he was trying to push people to follow the zealots' way of life. Jesus was bringing the kingdom way of life. What kind of life are you experiencing and promoting? I pray that will be God's kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the beautiful lessons that we have for us today as we study the Gospel of Luke. Have mercy on us, Lord. Be graceful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's see the questions for our reflection today. And here are the questions. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, may God bless you. I hope we'll be back tomorrow to study and continue our journey towards the Sermon of the Mountain, the law that Jesus brings from the mountain to present for the way of life of the citizens of the kingdom. May God bless you abundantly. And let's be apostles of the kingdom, living out, presenting, and declaring the kingdom of God.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.